For September the 18th, 2020, we talk about Death Stranding, some upcoming releases, and we ask you about times when games didn't line up with your expectations. Welcome to Level 344. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome, one and all. Welcome to the gathered group here.
Welcome to the one and two.
One and two. Yes. Yeah. No, it's hard. I'm struggling for intro stuff. Before the when we were in the green room here, we were talking about the Deck of Wonders campaign and how it's going. So I want to do a public check-in. As of the time we're recording, the campaign is still going, but when people hear this, it will be ended. What do you want to fling forward to everybody from this date to that date?
That is, it's one of those weird pre-tape call-in things. Super fun, intense at the beginning and end, but I've just been blown away by the amount people have kind of come alongside and gotten excited for the game with me. As of this recording, we're 220% funded, which is ridiculous. especially because the original number, I know some campaigns will kind of pad their stats or whatever, and so they'll put out a really low number. But my number was my actual target, what I needed to make it a reality. And so to have it, at double that is crazy. So thank you everyone who got in. There will be late pledging, probably through Game Found, but just watch the Deck of Wonders socials to see where that's going to be. So if you missed it, don't worry, no stress. you can still get in, and hopefully, you're going to get in with all of these crazy stretch goals unlocked that I'm very excited about.
That's why you want to get in now. So, it's cool to see, has your life just been completely tied to the computer watching this and making the updates, or what's going on? How you doing, bud?
Yeah. Kickstarter is such a weird S curve where the first 3 days, absolutely. And then starting today and going through the end, absolutely. In between, it was pretty calm. I had a relatively balanced life. But you definitely want to, I think a third of your funding comes in the first couple of days and a third of your funding comes in the last couple of days. So these are the big ones.
Yeah. So that's cool. At least you had a chance to be a little, to have a little bit of balance there. That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm glad I did it as a 3 week campaign, not a 4 week campaign, just because you get to that point where in a 4 week campaign, you're in week, three and a half, and you're kind of nothing's happening. Let's get it over with already. Let's get to the chorus.
Yeah, let's rush to that final crunch. Get it up there. Yeah. And get the work started.
We're motivated by deadlines, so let's have those.
Yeah, David, how are you?
Bobby and weaving.
Oh, as always.
Yep. Nothing really much to report. I guess I had the first class in a Kirby Krabong, which is Thai weapon arts symposium or whatever. So it's every weekend, every Saturday from now through October. So that was pretty interesting. So this week it was on basically double sword technique, and then we're going to be doing in future weeks, I think, spear, staff, double forearm shields, and single sword, I think, is the plans, and then some empty hand and some medicine.
Okay.
For the shields especially, Kirby Kabong is both the name and the sound it makes.
Exactly.
If it's a metal shield. Yeah.
It's what's that, old cartoon, El Kabong.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Back in the day.
I'm not making light of this, but when you mention spears, how do you do non-lethal spear practice?
You pad the end. No, pretty much you just use the staff.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I just wonder, like, do you bring in a pig and like, okay, you have successfully managed, you've successfully landed a blow. How, okay. Now you need to get the spear out so you can hit again. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think
have you ever actually seen the spears designed for hunting pigs?
I mean, I know that are those the ones that are like super gnarly and have like big curved like winged blades on the end of them?
Yeah. So yeah. They have big cross guards because a angry wild boar will just charge come at you? Up the spear and kill you.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Huh. Now I'm sad because I'm thinking about a pig die, and my mom sent me my mom went to like a farm or petting zoo thing with one of my nephews and sent me a picture of a bunch of baby piglets, and now I'm like sad. So
I feel like this is one of those differences. Well, there's two ways to look at it. One, like pigs are one of the most filthy, disgusting animals there are. But the other side is there is a big difference between like a pig and say like a wild boar.
Yes. Although a pig put out in feral conditions will turn into a boar.
Right.
Yeah, it'll get,
which is yet another reason, because that just proves pigs are basically the werewolves of the animal world.
it's pretty scary, and there are those just like roving herds of wild boars that just go up and down the country depending on the weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's cool. You got you got something to do on the weekends here coming up till October.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe it's nearly October. Fuck.
Yeah. Let's get the year out of the way. Let's go. Let's go.
No, 2021's going to be worse.
Yeah. I'll let you know, say, you know, midway through November, whether 2021 is going to be any better.
Let's be real. It's not going to be midway through November when they have it sorted out.
Yeah. No,
it is sure to be a cluster.
Yeah.
Blah. My fanfic is that it is a resounding enough victory for Biden that there is no question, but
so yeah,
it's not going to get there.
No, it is maddeningly close. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize, until I read something today, just like how incredibly off, the Electoral College has been.
Oh yeah.
It's like the Democratic Party has won the popular vote in 7 of the last 8 elections.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. No, it's, outside of what, like 2004. Yeah, no, it's pretty rough. Anyway, I don't have too much going on. I just tweeted this out, but I'm super excited. So my kitten that I got, Dottie, when I adopted her, she was like 8 ounces, so basically just a bunch of fluff with maybe a cat inside of it. which was super underweight for a 4-week-old cat. I just weighed her before the show. 17 ounces, guys.
Oh, big girl,
like,
now.
Which is, yeah, like she's like a cat. No, and that was a process of like I had to bottle feed her and then wean her and all that. And yeah, she's like a little kitten who plays now, and she's actually like got a healthy kitten body. I feel very proud of that.
She's still a floof, but it's a floof with umlauts.
Yeah, a floof. Yes.
Yeah. That is definitely like. She's become an IKEA product. Is that what we're saying?
Yep. A kit.
Yeah. I was trying to think of ways to like toughen up floof. Yeah. As close as I got. Like I imagined it in the what's the Jack Black
Brutal Legend.
Thank you, Brutal Legend. Brutal Legendize that kitten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, that was good news, because I was worried about the little girl. She was she was way too small. So yeah, that's my big news.
Now the only thing that can get her are the roving bands of pigs.
Yeah, but Greta's here to protect her from those, so she's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Good, perfect.
Well, I think that we should get on to the kind of show that we're going to do, which I imagine is going to be a regular kind of show, three style though it may be. with, you know, the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so, because everybody who is here was here last time. I'm going to do my other thing, which is I'm going to have the last person go first. The last person was me. So this will be really quick, just because it's not anything new, and I don't know that I have much more to say about it, but I'm continuing to really enjoy Death Stranding. Like, that has been my just game that I play that I play for fun and work on when I'm not doing podcast homework. And I'm nearing like the back third, let's say. Like, I spoiled, like, I looked at like how many missions there are, how many chapters and stuff like that. And I'm on like mission 55 of 70 or something. So I'm definitely going to have it beat by the time we record next, which will be good, because it's, you know, it's time to move on, time to try something else. Also something that's a little bit shorter. But yeah, like it's satisfying the way that the game evolves as mm-hmm. you go and gets tougher. And I've never heard anybody really, you know, talk at length about like how it complicates the you know, the basic verb of the game.
Yeah, so, are you able to upgrade yourself into a complete empowerment fantasy where you don't have to worry about where you're stepping?
A little bit. Like, you can get like power skeletons. Think like mm-hmm. like an exoskeleton for your leg that you can activate, and it uses up your little personal battery pack that you have attached, that like for it will activate in certain situations. So like there's one that's made for speed, there's one that like lets you carry a lot more than you otherwise would, and one that I just recently got because I'm in the kind of the mountain region and beyond, which is like the all-terrain one, which when it activates, you're just far more stable. Like, you still have to like keep your balance and stuff like that, but you are far less prone to falling. And that combined with like the power gloves that you can get, not Nintendo power gloves, just, you know, power gloves, make it a lot
so bad.
It was so bad. But that helps you like climb, and if you do end up slipping, like it lets you catch yourself and slow yourself down faster. All of that, and like that combined with the additional weapons that you get, it does help you become kind of more capable. But the thing that gets really interesting is that, you know, your journey like roughly maps to crossing the continental United States, but an extremely compressed version of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, so one mission that takes you like 15 minutes of walking to do will take you from like Washington, D.C. to Ohio. Right. And they explain this because of like timey-wiminess or whatever. But, you know, just regular kind of goofiness there. But like the easternmost section of the United States, with the exception of a few mountains and stuff, it's relatively flat. Right. Like, you're dealing with like very gentle slopes that go up and down. Once mm-hmm. you cross, once you cross like the big lake that's in the center of the United States now, because of the explosions, because of the void outs, you get into the mountain region, and then all of a sudden, basically everything changes. You have gotten all of these vehicles that have been very helpful, but like they're a little bit less useful when you have to go up and down these very steep like rock faces and stuff. So then you start basically over again with new tools, like setting up zip lines and things like that. And even as that progresses, as you progress even further west, you get into like snow, like, you know, snow topped mountains, and the rain that causes everything to deteriorate turns to snow that makes everything deteriorate faster. So that's an additional concern that you go.
Acid snow?
Kind of. Acid snow, but it's if acid advanced the aging, like if acid sped up time for somebody, which I suppose acid might cause somebody to lose time. That makes sense. But yeah, like that's the way that the game gets harder, in addition to kind of a higher density of the BTs, of the you know, the monsters that you have to sneak around.
It's just like the old public service announcement, you know, just say no to acid snow.
Acid snow cones, yes. And that, in addition to dealing with, like, it, on the East Coast and in the Central, you're dealing with mules, which are basically like package thieves who like work in camps and stuff like that. The further you go west, you're starting to deal with like the enemy faction of terrorists. And they start firing lethal bullets, and that is a problem because anybody who dies has to be dealt with at an incinerator, or else they create a void out, and that blows up a huge portion of the map, possibly taking out things that you have built.
Yeah, so
I like the idea that just the mules, that just someone designing this, you know, misinterpreted seeing, you know, mules carrying things, you know, out west and chose to believe that the mules just stole the gear and ran off with it.
No, they're just people. It's like M-U-L-E-S. It's like an acronym, which is dumb, and I haven't looked up what the acronym means. Yeah.
Don't dignify it like that.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Dennis?
I feel like I've got a very clear idea of how this game works on your first time through an area. And I know people put a lot of effort into kind of building throughways and making it more accessible. But every time I hear people talk about it, it sounds like you're moving on to the next thing so much. Like how much do you get to enjoy the fruits of your labors versus knowing that you kind of left something that's going to make it easier for someone else?
So leaving something for somebody else is definitely a huge like part of the game, even like thematically. And oftentimes as you are going, you are benefiting from the fruits of somebody else's labor. You know, like you'll come up to a structure and you'll see that, you know, like this is so-and-so a zip line made by, you know, this person's gamer tag. And you know, here's how many likes that it's received. The time that it's built, here's like what level the structure is. How much you get to take advantage of, like, especially the roads that you lay down, which is one of the bigger resource outlays that you do. It really just depends on how much you are doing optional deliveries. So in addition to the main deliveries that you can do, you know, that are, you know, just called orders for Sam versus standard orders, you can do those standard orders. These are not storyline adjacent. Like, you do go to places that you have been before and have like very cursory interactions with the people that you have spoken with before when you met them for the purpose of the story. But you are doing these pretty much just to increase your kind of rating with them. And as you fill out the rating with individual characters, they will like, you get bonuses, like upgrades to certain weapons that you have, etc. So it's like, are you playing this to see the story, which I am, and the story is good and interesting. It's fun sci-fi. I'm doing that. Or are you playing this almost like a little, like, you know, simulator kind of game, you know, taking your time and like optimizing your routes and going and doing a bunch of deliveries, picking up resources along the way and storing them and using those to make it easier for you to go, building up momentum for yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. And then I love that they went to like this, you know, fancy power glove idea instead of just being like, have walking sticks.
Well, you know, it'd be fun if there was a walking stick and it was also a weapon, but no, you got power gloves. Yeah.
I mean, any walking stick can be a weapon in the right hands.
Well, yes. But yeah, it's cool. I'm excited to see how the story winds up. It's funny because it's a little bit like Metal Gear Solid 5 insofar as there will be long stretches really without any real advancement. Like, it's you doing what is necessary to get the network back online. But then like at the end of episodes, that's where you get all of the story detail. And there have been a couple of, episodes or chapters or whatever, which have been almost purely story wrapped up around these boss fights that you're doing. where you're pulled into basically a purgatory for soldiers that a significant character in the story is trapped in and is pulling you into. And you end up doing like Metal Gear combat in it. But yeah, I'm enjoying, I think that like it's a good balance of story to play as well.
Very cool. I'm excited to hear about the other side of things.
Yeah.
Once you get there.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited to play more of it. But that is all that I've got, just because of, you know, lots of homework recently, playing for shows. Let's see, moving on from this, unless there are other questions.
No, go ahead.
Okay. David, how about you?
Sure. Not a whole lot. The closest I got to trying something new is I installed Disgaea 4 and like made it partway through the tutorial and just got very, very confused by like the horrible controls and stuff.
Horrible controls, huh?
It's not really a fault on the game. It just does. It's very overtly made to be used with a controller.
Oh, and okay. So you're dealing with it with a mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I will definitely be back, although I do need to check in and see what the consensus is on like US versus Japanese voice acting. Especially considering like the nature of this game, I can't figure out if the voice acting is bad or if it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah,
I mean, so I've only played two of the Disgaea games, the first two. I really like the way that they play. I think they're fun strategy games. The aesthetic and voice acting are just concentrated poison to me. So yeah, I think they're supposed to be that way. Sure. So, it's up to you, which of them works best, I guess.
Sure. That yeah. makes sense.
So I mean, like this is a grid-based tactics game. Are you telling me that the Steam port of this like doesn't even let you like select what what square you want to go to with the mouse? Or
it's not so much that the issue isn't so much the controls actually being bad as it is it just not telling you any of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, and just I guess the closest thing to bad with them would be just it's very obviously optimized or kind of built around the logic of controller layout. So just things like it's not really possible to just, I don't know, it doesn't work quite right to like just directly exit out of menus, or like if you want to exit the game, you have to like open up your inventory, navigate to options and choose exit as opposed to just like pressing escape and choosing exit or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Just really really poorly acclimated to the PC interface.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll be back to it. But you know, it's just not so much bringing this up cause anything wrong, just cause like I said, that's the closest to anything new I have.
Okay.
Other than that, I think I mentioned last time that I started playing a little bit of the Division 2 again.
Okay.
And they had a, I don't know, in-game event that basically introduced a optional Guardian mode. So what that is on any group of enemies, there'll be one enemy that is the Guardian, and, you know, he has like a little yellow shield over him, and then everyone else has little blue shields with X's on them over him, and he's the only one that takes damage.
Okay.
Oh, so this is protect the president.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's like that's a common, like, it was like an FPS mode in Counter-Strike and going back, like a VIP kind of thing, almost like a group escort mission kind of deal.
Okay, yeah. So basically, you have to kill him first before you can kill anyone else. But then to kind of balance that, as soon as you kill him, you get healed to full, and anytime you kill one of these enemies or hit them in one of their weak spots, like, all the other enemies temporarily get stunned.
Okay.
So it creates a very unique thing where in what is otherwise very much a cover shooter, you were encouraged and sometimes necessitated to just, like, sprint past enemies that are trying to shoot you.
Well, yeah, because what does standing still get you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's fun. It's, you know, it's interesting seeing, like, you know, different like elements of the game mode, because when you turn it on, it's just like that's the way the game as a whole works. So there's all these different, you know, side quests and, you know, like, oh, this event is capture the flag. This one's, you know, protect the NPCs. You know, that sort of thing. And just seeing how the degree to which they vary in, like, you know, whether this game mode either makes it very, very easy because you can just heal all the time, or very difficult because the, you know, game mode does not work well with, you know, having to kill a specific enemy at a time. So that was fun. And then with that, there were a whole bunch of different challenges. So things like, you know, when you kill one of these enemies, they create an explosion in a certain radius. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, kill a guardian with a guardian's explosion.
Okay.
Or, you know, just, you know, all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, you know, a lot of fun, not, you know, not really earth shattering in terms of, like, I don't know, there's no new story beats or anything like that. But, you know, still just all around, you know, fun change up on the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, what kind of got me into it again is there's been a lot of news. They're going to be releasing a new, like, endgame mode where it's you know, set in New York and you have to fight your way up a 100-story skyscraper, and it's kind of like a almost like a roguelike type thing where you know, you can every 10 levels you reach a checkpoint, but other than that, if you die, you have to start over.
Okay.
So, you know, that kind of inspired me to, you know, kind of get in and, you know, grind up a little bit of gear in preparation for that and just kind of see how the game's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's really all I have. It's been kind of a slow week.
Understandable. Good.
Yeah, I'd be curious on, you know, a roguelike for The Division. At higher level play, could you have, like, weapon randomization and stay fairly viable, or does it get to the point where it's like, okay, there's a couple good weapons you need to have, and otherwise you're kind of hosed?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they definitely have, you know, they kind of have three different broad builds you can do, which are, you know, skill based, DPS based, or tank. And I know that at least in, like, the skill base, you can do either a raw skill based or a one that's based around status effects. So I know there's some variety in that respect, but I don't know, like you said, how many of these will be considered, you know, quote unquote viable, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They did have, you know, there is some precedence in that one of the better received modes from the original game was a survival mode.
Okay.
Which was, I guess, kind of a, you know, you could consider it either part of the survival genre, or maybe it might more be kind of a early version of the Battle Royale genre, but was noteworthy in the fact that, you know, the first game takes place during a, like, once-in-a-century blizzard in New York City.
Okay.
And so this had, you know, had a big focus on, like, maintaining your body heat, which meant that, you know, in a game that's ostensibly a cover shooter, you had to balance that around, like, situations where you had to, like, break cover and, you know, get near, burning trash barrel or something to heat up.
Okay.
So I actually never played that mode. I kind of left the game before that became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there is at least some precedence to this.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are they like, does Ubisoft seem like they're gearing up for something more for this? Are they going to be continuing to do like, you know, 6-month content updates or content drops, almost like expansions? Or does it seem like they're kind of gesturing toward like a Division 3? Are you like plugged in enough to know that?
Not for sure. I mean, I kind of got the idea that, you know, it seemed like Warlords of New York was fairly well received.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could see them, doing that again. The big thing they're gearing up towards right now is Watch Dogs Legion.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Which has been pretty interesting. I think my favorite, and sorry, this is kind of blurring the line with like a, end boss or whatever, but
that's fine.
They had, I don't know what they called it, like Ubisoft Next or whatever last week, where they announced all the things they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my favorite things is one of their big announcements is that, in Watch Dogs Legion, you have to recruit, you know, various people in London to join DedSec, and those become kind of the players you can play as. And they each have, you know, different skill sets. But one of them is they announced you can recruit, what's his name? Is it like Adrian something?
The hero of the first game, Aiden Pierce.
Right. And my favorite part is the way that this was received. Like that was what they said. What the fans heard is, wait, this game has permadeath. So you're saying I can recruit him and get him permanently killed?
he's bland and he kind of comes across like, STEM Batman a little bit is kind of his whole vibe. I don't understand the complete boiling, seething hatred that people have for him, even in light of the fact that the protagonist of Watch Dogs 2 is actually like fun and good and a complete departure from him. It's just, yeah. It's very funny to see like all of the bile just, it's like, have you ever watched Parks and Rec and the way people talk about libraries and salads? Mm. just a complete irrational, unhinged anger. So everybody was like, ooh, we can get him killed. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah. So I do like, it'll be interesting to see. I think, it'll be interesting to see if they keep trying to make it we're totally being we're totally, this is just a game, we're not trying to make a political point, because the entire game they're setting up is like not compatible with
No. I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's this is the same company that like showed off Far Cry 5 and said you're going to be killing militias in Montana, and then completely backed away from having that be associated with anything real. I think that Ubisoft on one hand is just really averse to making anything quote unquote political without understanding that making something apolitical is just siding with the status quo, you know?
I mean, I think some of it is probably also like a difference between what Ubisoft wants to make and what the people that work for Ubisoft want to make.
Also that, yeah. But yeah, so they're working on the third Watch Dogs game, and that probably is interfering with Division stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, you know, the third Watch Dogs game is 100% like games as a service.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I didn't know that. So that is a disappointment. That's disappointing that they're continuing to try to pump that well. Games as a service? No.
Yeah.
Is that all you had, David?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah. A really quick note, Jen and I did a couch date doing pass and play Fall Guys, and it was delightful. Ooh. So for anyone who is so able, I don't think that game has local multiplayer, but pass and play is a very fun way to play that game.
What was the rule on shouting advice and blaming somebody when they die for not following your advice?
Required.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. It was a very short date. It ended in tears. I don't know why I brought it up. No, it was a wonderful time. So Fall Guys continues to be fun and is fun as a pass and play game. But my new news is I have finally gotten around to diving into the racial justice bundle that itch.io put out.
The one with 1500 games or something? Yeah.
Yeah, the one with an insane amount of games where, like, you know, you don't open up the bundle, you open up a guide to tell you where to look in the bundle. But I just did a little bit of a blitz of some smaller games and some games you might recognize from that. And had a real fun time just kind of island hopping within the bundle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll hit these. I didn't play any of them super deep, but again, it was just real fun to see what's in there. I played a game called Midboss, which is a dungeon crawler. And the conceit is that you start as a tiny little imp who is literally the weakest enemy in a dungeon. But your one ability is that you can possess other enemies that you defeat. And so instead of leveling up, you know, you fight a rat because every game starts out with rats as the main enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Or the beginner enemy. And then you possess the rat when it dies. And then you use the rat to fight bigger things and possess those. And you know, then you kind of, you guys ever play that game in childhood where they give you a penny and then you go see how much you can trade the penny up?
I mean, I've not played that, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah. Like a scavenger hunt type of deal. So it's that just with dungeon enemies. And basically, you know, the story is that this imp is tired of how things are in the dungeon and just keeping, you know, on getting stomped by all the heroes that traips through. So he's going to take the place over for himself by possessing his way up the chain.
Yeah.
Super fun concept, a little unpolished in execution. The thing that I couldn't understand is that it's an isometric grid to where, you know, you're kind of always moving on a diagonal. Think like Qbert.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just like saying, okay, WASD, you know, we are designating W as upright and you learn that. They have this weird thing where WASD is truly move on a diagonal for the grid, which is itself diagonal. If that makes sense. Like, so, you know, hitting W is move diagonally up and left at the same time, or, you know, it move in relation to your screen, move straight up, which on the map is up and left.
Oh no. Oh, they did the worst thing they could.
Yeah, it is. It was a trip.
Does that only count as one, as one step, or does that count as two?
Yes, it does count as one step. And so there are, you know, I very quickly went in and overrode all the controls.
Yeah.
So that WASD was kind of shifted to the grid. But there are combat situations because it's, once you get into combat, it's turn-based, where taking that diagonal step is important to being able to avoid damage or get the right position.
This needed to be on a hex grid, Dennis.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So what I do in those situations is I literally go and mouse over the square and click it to move it as my alternate movement system.
Yeah.
So that holds it back. Uh-huh. What is clear though is they designed it with a lot of consideration towards multiple playthroughs. Mm-hmm. And there's just a ton of customization that you can do. You know, they've got their a couple of just base modes that you can start in. Not quite an easy, medium, difficult, but, you know, just things that will up the difficulty on you. And then you can go in and play around with everything in this engine on, you know, how likely stuff is to spawn and what enemies are in there and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see the Last of Us 2 difficulty approach to difficulty from, I think, before The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, this came out a little bit ago.
So that's mid boss. Mm-hmm. Really fun idea.
Love that pixel art style.
Yeah, it's something else. The other game I played was called Codemancer, and I'm kind of sad. All these are games that I think Ben would enjoy hearing about, so I'll have to pass them on to him through other mediums. But Codemancer is exactly what it sounds like. You are a wizard that uses code. And it is a little, I guess I'd call it an educational game that as you're going through, you have to program a series of steps to move through a grid, and accomplish an objective.
Mm-hmm.
It has analogs into what you would do if you are coding something. So, you know, there's your base set of actions, but then you can tell the game to repeat an action a certain number of times, or you can repeat a loop of actions.
Ooh.
Or, you know, and it gradually kind of ramps up the difficulty and complexity. So as someone who really doesn't have much background in coding, I really appreciated it and had fun getting into it. The coolest thing is it is such that Luke came over, he's six, saw it and was immediately able to start like playing and thinking through puzzles with me.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, we're pseudo homeschooling right now. I'm like, sweet, I just found my computer's class. We're going to play this game together.
Nice.
I only played a little bit of it. I don't know how complex the coding gets. There was also no point that I observed where it limited the number of lines of code you could have. They were very overt in teaching you, like, hey, here's how to make something repeat. Here are situations where you would want to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop where they'll be like, okay, now you have to accomplish this with three lines of code or
right.
Whatever. So, so that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. But that's Codemancer. And, you know, the story is delightful in terms of, you know, they don't try to rationalize why wizards are using code or anything. It just, that is the convention for it, but you're off to wizard school and something is afoot.
Sufficiently advanced magic is indistinguishable.
It's that the game.
So if people are listening to this and they're curious, like, hey, what is this similar to? The interface on this actually looks very much like, have any of you played Human Resource Machine?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, the interface where you have kind of the scenario shown on the left and then the lines of code on the right, and you're dragging stuff around. Specifically like icons or simple commands that then iterates through. This appears to be very similar to that, actually. So, except this seems to be more about like scripting than dealing with like registry math and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and who knows where it will ramp up into. It is also worth noting that this game is like chapter one of, I think it, at least three, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering now, like, how many games in this bundle are actually like first hit teasers?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
but there's so many, like, how can you actually complain about that?
1500 of them, dear God.
Yeah. You can take 1500 hits and not
there's
really
so many of them
it.
That people have made like third party websites to like help you like sort through them and, you know, search them by tag.
Yeah. How dare you have more stuff I can buy from you, especially if I like it. Yeah, so that's Codemancer. And then the final game, and this is a much more prominent one, is Celeste, which is the fiendishly difficult pixel art platformer that deals with kind of themes of mental health and self-care and all that stuff.
What's this called? I'm sorry?
Celeste.
Celeste. I've played Celeste. We covered that on WoW this year. Yeah.
So oh, cool.
Like, is that basically like if Super Meat Boy didn't hate you?
If Super Meat Boy hated himself,
it is definitely like it gets difficult, but it is also far more kind than Super Meat Boy is. It's very much inspired by Super Meat Boy. It's inspired by like things that Super Meat Boy was inspired by. Like it's very much kind of in that line. It's made by the people who did by some of the people who did Towerfall.
Yeah. So the thing I love about the game is it is, for me, the perfect ratio of staring at a platforming level, trying to figure out how to get to the end, and then executing that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's a balance that's hard to articulate, but when a game nails it, you feel it. And it's just, you know, at that point, it paces itself where you're spending some of your play is just sitting and staring, being like, what the you can't do that. That's not, wait, okay, well, and then, you know, working your way back through mentally all the jumps and kicks and grabs that you're able to do. And then, you know, then you try to do it and realize you were woefully wrong about that even being viable. Go to plan B and you know, start playing your way through. So it is, I don't know, it just hits the sweet spot for me of those things. You know, you're never sitting still for too long. There's never a level that, you know, you walk into and you're just like, you know, completely stymied. And so you can always learn a little bit by doing. And the game also does a great job of holding out that first jump or, you know, first obstacle in a way that you're like, oh, okay, I can do this. And you start that. And then you realize that starts a chain reaction of things that you need to time and do and get through that is really difficult. And you didn't bother to look ahead or think about anything after that first jump. It's just chaos. And so that's really fun is, you know, you never just have to hit the landing. You have to hit the landing, then immediately grab something and jump out of the way, or hit the landing and dash. And that is great design or design that really resonates with me in terms of what I want out of a platformer.
Yeah.
So I also really liked the theming and the stories that it tells. I don't think I've ever seen a game where so overtly the main character responds or says the things that you're kind of thinking as a player. So it is the opposite of a horror movie in terms of like, there's never that like, don't go in there moment. You know, you think, oh, that seemed kind of defensive. And then your character will say like, are you feeling okay? That seemed a little defensive. You're like, oh, this is, you know, this is an emotionally intelligent person that is not overtly missing things or creating conflict that you wouldn't understandably see yourself creating. All the conversations and interactions feel very authentic and like they would come out of real life.
I feel like emotionally intelligent and creating conflicts I see myself creating are kind of at two opposite ends.
But yeah, so, you know, that, I don't know, it stuck out to me as a strength of this game. And I don't know if that's just the writing or the way that, you know, it is, there are wah-wahs for all the talking, but not actual voices. So you can just project yourself into it that much more. But it's just, you know, every piece of it just feels very real and feels very authentic. And I appreciate that, especially because the game is trying to tackle themes of mental health and self-care and all this stuff.
The characters are well sketched.
So those are three from the bundle that I've gotten into. So I think that puts me at like 0.0001% of the way through.
Hey man, Journey of 1,000 Steps or 1,500 games.
A journey of 1,500 games ends when I find Journey, and then I'm happy I've found everything good in there.
I don't think Journey. No, I took your joke literally. I'm sorry. I'll step back. I'll be over here, not speaking anymore.
So that's I had fun digging into it, cool. And it's a nice little refresher. I don't know if there's ways to still get it. I imagine it's closed in one form or another, but
yeah, I think
probably that, have it, just because why would you not buy that when it was available?
Yeah. And it was available for a very long time. So, and also like, it's not like any of these individual games are prohibitively expensive. So
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is me.
Cool. That sounds like a segment.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what did you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I wanted to know about expectations versus reality. So what game was most different from your expectations going in? And was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah. Why don't we get started with Ollie, who says, I've mentioned my late coming to the PS3 before and my discovery of the Naughty Dog games, but I'll wax lyrical again. I'm not a fan of cover shooters, just never clicked with me as a genre. I thought The Last of Us would be a boring cover shooter with stealth elements. It's not. It's a wonderfully fluid and dynamic experience that happens to have some cover shooting. I also thought Hitman Absolution would be slow and boring. Turns out it's slow and thrilling. recommend both of these games to the highest degree. Ooh, that's good. I like starting on this positive note, because that was not the question that was set up.
Yeah, I guess I influenced the answers with the example image, which was No Man's Sky.
Yeah. So thank you, Ollie, for taking it positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, The Last of Us... describing it as a cover shooter just feels so, so woefully inadequate.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I hear a cover shooter and I immediately go back to like the PS2 era where everything is so pinned down. Or, you know, like Gears of War, where everything has like a lot of gravity to it. You know, the fact that you can like get a height advantage on people is a good thing. Yeah. Let's see. David, what does David say?
David says, most recently, it's Horizon's Gate for PC. I was scanning the dank RPG recesses of a sale and happened upon a review suggesting Horizon's Gate as an open-world RPG ripped from the SNES era. Good. Well, what I ended up getting was a non-linear trade ship simulator meets Divinity Original 2 combat with Stardew Valley aesthetics. Oh, how
nice.
Yeah. Hey, David, you might have just sold me this game, actually. That sounds baller.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. Dennis, what does Callum say? Sorry, I'm writing down Horizon's Gate so I can go check it out. What does Callum say?
Sorry, I'm playing Horizon's Gate now. Very fast at download times. Callum says, Mass Effect Andromeda. Here we go. Now we're going negative. I play, or maybe positive. We'll see. I played it a few years after release. With the press it received, I was expecting an absolute dumpster fire. What I got was fine, I suppose. It was a Mass Effect RPG. Okay, so not super negative. We're staying relatively positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Positive versus expectations, at least.
Like, positive hype is more frequently talked about as a problem, but like when something is universally shit on when it comes out, it is almost always, in my experience, people overreacting.
Yeah. Except for what is what's the Destiny 2 like that came out?
Anthem?
Anthem, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
I've never seen anything about Anthem that isn't just a.
It was a game. It was game as a service, so it was never going to be good.
Yeah.
Fallout 76.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. David writes, Mario and Rabbids on the Switch. I was just kind of expecting a shallow tactics game with the two aesthetics crammed together. What I got was an extremely solid XCOM-like that even managed to improve itself on almost every access with the DLC. I know Rabbids are a little much for some people, but I still go to bat for this game whenever I can.
Yeah, I can second this. Also, I was today years old when I learned that this game has DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reminds me, I need to check if XCOM 2 is still like unreasonably expensive.
I've got a copy of it I can give you if you want.
Oh yeah, that was in the Slack, dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can give you a copy, man. I'll send you the code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I accidentally activated a copy of it on Humble, and I didn't mean to do that. So I've got the code just laying around.
Also, I want to be there when you start playing it.
Okay. Maybe this will be the game I stream so that you can watch me sit for, you know, 15 minutes staring at a, you know, 95% chance to hit, deciding if that's good enough.
Seems safe to touch.
Yeah.
It feels like they want me to touch it.
David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I'm going to use the answer I've used in the past for other questions. Sorry, not sorry. Kingdom Hearts. Yes, I understand the hate for it. Yes, it's not for everyone. Yes, I didn't want to play the game at first either. That's a lot of, you know.
Yes, I was made to play it against my will.
Oh, yeah, I need more details on that.
But once I finally picked it up and tried it, I found that instead of it being a stupid shovelware Disney kids game, it was a fun and challenging action game with good graphics, great music, and some really fun gameplay. And I've been a fan of the franchise ever since.
Huh.
Very cool. I am gobsmacked by the positive percentage on these. This is wonderful, you guys.
We've cultivated an audience of just fucking dweebs. I can't stand this. Grow some teeth. Come on.
Hate something.
You know I don't mean that. Finally here, Dennis, what does Ruki say?
Yeah, Ruki says, Frog Fractions was not quite as math heavy as I was expecting, but I can heartily recommend it for anyone who'd like to spend 1 or 2 hours getting an education. Also, Dawn of War 3 was not what I was expecting in all the wrong ways. Dawn of War 2 was a great small-scale RTS game with light RPG elements that got rid of all the base building cruft that tends to put me off from the genre. In Dawn of War 3, it's like the devs asked themselves, how can we make this game as generic as possible? Nothing is worse than success sanding the edges off.
Yeah. No good. You don't want to, nothing should be diluted by the time it reaches its third sequel. It should be, or, you know, that level, its third entry rather. Yeah. It should be more of itself.
That's where you got that FU money, man. You got to go crazy.
Yeah, for me, just because I've been thinking about this example, it's related a little bit to the, to my end boss here, but Amnesia: A Machine for Pigs. By the time that came out, like, I had played Dear Esther, the previous game made by the Chinese Room, the team that developed A Machine for Pigs and Dear Esther. I guess I didn't imagine that the game that would ultimately come out would be as gameplay light as it is. And what's funny is, like, yeah, it was disappointing because, you know, Amnesia is a really good horror game that has, like, just the right amount of mechanics, a good gameplay story balance or whatever. But, like, basically the longer that I go without playing it, which means that I should never play it again, the more it sticks, the more its story sticks with me, specifically as, like, a very brutal allegory for kind of the latest possible stages of capitalism, where people's literal blood has commodified in order to end the world. You know, yes, it's hyperbolic, but it's a very, like, well stated and very kind of just like, it's a very well put together, like, social horror story, in addition to other stuff. And yeah,
and luckily it's not like that literal thing happened last week.
What was last week? What?
The FDA approving COVID plasma.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, and they did it like sooner than they otherwise would, which makes sense, yeah, because, yeah.
Now at least one county is officially announcing cash incentives to donate your blood.
Yeah. Ooh. Weird.
So, like, basically exactly what you said.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, so, like, it wasn't what I expected. I don't know, you know, it's definitely not better than the first one, but, like, you know, I have a complicated relationship with it, so I will not be the first purely negative example in this. I will just say it's complicated. David, sure. How about you,
man? I'm having trouble thinking of, like, a really good example. Maybe the best I can think of would be StarCraft, in that I played that game almost exclusively for it. Well, you know, bought it for its real-time RPG and ended up playing almost exclusively the use map settings games.
Use map settings.
So that was kind of... That was the original version of, like, the, oh my gosh, how did they make Little Big Planet into a first-person shooter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so those were all of the games that would become, like, Dota and stuff like that.
Yeah. Huh. So just kind of, like, you didn't expect it to be, like, a full conversion kind of thing.
Right, well, and more, yeah, and also just, like, that wasn't even on my radar.
Right.
Like, this was going, you know, bought it to be, like, you know, play online with my friends and end up just playing almost exclusively just random freaking stuff.
Yeah. No, we did that. It was like you, me, and Kyle. We would do Game Hunters. Yeah.
Yep.
Which was like not a hunting game. That was just a think like the Final Destination map from Smash Brothers, except in StarCraft. Yeah.
There's similarly a someone made kind of a you know anticipation of like the Thing video games or all of those where it's like you're trying to you know. Accomplish an objective, but one character is randomly assigned to actually be trying to like take you out.
Nice. Let's see here. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I have a very distinct memory of my mental concept of Halo multiplayer before I actually played the game. So I'd only seen just like vague previews of you know what the game was about. And I knew there was multiplayer and I remember imagining like, oh yeah, like, you know, maybe you like hold a ridge and scout for the enemy and, you know, much more paced and careful combat. And it turns out I was just imagining, battle royale games way before they actually came on this scene. And actual Halo multiplayer is a free for all, crazy fest that we all know and love. So I don't think it was necessarily a negative change either. That's a lot of fun, but just a very different experience than was in my mind.
Picture mismatch. Yeah. Nice. Well, we managed to get through being not negative. Weird.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know what to make of that, guys. We've
unlocked something.
I'm gonna close this window. We need to move on from this upsetting thing. Maybe next week will not be as upsetting. It's been a while since we've done a free play, so I'm putting that marker down here. Next week can be a free play. I'll post it. I'll get it scheduled to go out.
But
if you would like to play along, send in your question, send in your response here. Go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for those prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. Thank you, Dennis, for putting this up.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. I've got two stories. They are both release date stories, but they are both things that I am either excited about or interested in. Earlier, I spoke about Amnesia: Machine for Pigs. Came out, I think, 7 years ago, something like that. However, as we talked about earlier this year, there's a new Amnesia game made by Frictional, their first game since 2015, when they put out Soma, which is a very good and scary game. Amnesia Rebirth, that just today, as of when we're recording, got a release date, October the 20th, I think. Yes, there we go. October the 20th, 2020. Huh. So I was worried that this was going to be delayed just because of everything that is going on. But no, they're hitting their target, which is pretty great. You play as... Yeah,
that's a month and a half, not even.
I know, it's so soon. And it's coming out like on PS4 and PC, a bunch of major major storefronts, what have you. You play as a person named Tassi, and you are your plane crashes in an Algerian desert, and of course you make your own dark descent down into a ruin. And because it's in the series, you're probably going to be seeing some shit. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Day one purchase for me. Probably I might even like stream it that weekend. Who knows? The other game that has a release date here that got one today Twin Mirror, the new game from Don't Nod, the team behind Remember Me and Life is Strange, that got a gameplay trailer today and also a release date of December the 1st. This appears to be, you know, like Life is Strange, a story-based kind of adventure game. But in this one, it is kind of focused on solving mysteries, solving murders by doing like crime scene reconstruction in your main characters, you know, like head and stuff like that. The trailer is pretty neat. Like it has a distinct graphical style that it's going for. I see a little bit of combat, which is worrying me just a little bit, but I'm down. Like I'm in a real mood for detective stories and detective games. So yeah, Twin Mirror, yeah. December 1st.
I had not put together that was the same studio that did Remember Me and just fled from my mind.
Life is Strange.
And yeah, and Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Because Remember Me was not a good game.
it had its moments.
It was very refreshing that they went in a different direction. And yeah, what you're describing, all these changes you have apprehension about, I think are justified because those are all things that were in Remember Me. Like,
yeah,
you know, combat and you know, I'll give it some credit. Like very cool ideas, just mm-hmm. not executed well. You know, they bore it out far enough to see there wasn't as much there for the ideas they thought, but they couldn't move away from it.
Yeah.
So, a take two or another attempt at a Remember Me formula, because that also had crime scene reconstruction and mechanics around that. Like, ooh.
So I'm looking up Remember Me and...
You don't remember Remember Me?
No. Although just from a quick like image search, it appears to be like Butt Cam the game.
yeah
it's a little bit the case. Yeah. I don't know, I'm excited. You can't dissuade me, Dennis.
No, I hope that they will take everything that made Life is Strange amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the Life is Strange studio shows up, not the Remember Me studio.
Yeah We'll see. And it also, you know, the combat that I saw could have been a cutscene or what have you. It was unclear.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Strictly speaking, there was some combat in Life is Strange.
A little bit. It was, mostly trying to fight time and causality. Yeah. David, what's going on? What's going on with athletes' physiological data?
Yeah, so this is only very tangentially game related, but apparently the Professional Squash Association has started, you know, is seen that like people really dig in like soccer and football, or I guess football and other football and baseball, all of the, you know, statistics and, you know, all of those things during the game. And so they've decided to kind of jump on that with monitoring their players' various physiological data. So things like heart rate, you know, how fast they're moving across the field. I actually don't know what squash is.
Court?
Pitch?
Court, I guess. Various statistics. However, the interesting angle on this, which, shows that this is a game that's, you know, apparently predominantly not popular in America, is that they conclude clearly this data belongs to the athletes. Therefore, we can only, use it with their consent and we need to pay them for it.
Holy crap.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. A sports league is doing something ethical. A sports league is doing something ethical. Any company anywhere is doing something ethical with data. What?
Yeah. I mean, it's squash. Come on.
Okay. A recess activity is. I don't know. I couldn't play squash. Probably those balls go very fast.
Yeah. Like, so to be fair, I have nowhere near the reaction time for squash.
No. Yeah, so I've got no business big timing people about squash.
fun tangent for an internship. I was into racquetball for a while. Mm-hmm. And on an internship, you know, everyone was in an extended stay hotel and the other people there were into squash. And I was like, oh yeah, I've played racquetball. I know how to play squash. That's fine. Let's do this.
That ball is so much harder.
Got my clock cleaned. Like you could have thrown a 3-month-old baby in there. They would have been as effective as I would. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how much different it makes. Oh, or how much difference it makes.
Yeah. It's also kind of fun to me because some of the players talking about, like, if they did this, would then could the other athlete's coach, like, you know, I don't know, have an earpiece and, like, clue them in on, you know, when they're getting tired or, like, things like that, which is kind of an interesting dynamic on this.
This kind of shows the ends of what this kind of data can do. Because my first thought was like, how are you going to articulate all that stuff while a match is going on in a way that is interesting or, mm-hmm. or, you know, additive rather than just being noise? And then second, like the ability of some coach to look at data and review and see, oh, I think they're getting caught, you know, tired, and then relay that to a player in a useful manner is never going to be as efficient as the player looking up and going, oh, he looks tired.
Yeah. there's a lot of intuition that happens at the player level. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so weird how the human brain is so much better at so much stuff.
Yeah.
Than, anything that the human brain can create.
Yeah. There's only so much like the level at which you can moneyball, like it only goes so microscopic.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Would be my intuition on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That or you can go with the boxing approach and just target the human brain.
Yes, until it doesn't get up anymore. Yes.
You know, Cole, your heart rate went up when you said that, which tells me you don't really believe that position. So.
God, there's just a running graph of like how much each of us are paying attention at any given time. Like, oh no, we don't need to, we don't need that.
Also,
it's just never turned on.
So also on this, the actual article itself for this was published in the Indian Express. So, mm-hmm. You know, also in the sports section was a lot of cricket. And I posted an image, but I would just like to point out that I never realized when you're playing cricket, like any sort of silhouette shot, you know, action shot, you just look like you're playing samurai ball.
I thought this was like a dramatic screenshot of the scout from Team Fortress 2. There was something about the hat and the headset that did that. Well, good on those companies, good on that league for saying yes, the players own the data that their body makes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Dennis, what you got?
I'm going to pull a Ben Merkel ain't got shit week here.
Cool.
We're ramping into the final days of the Kickstarter. So to the extent that I can, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And when you're listening to this, go check out how we did. Hopefully there's a lot of cool stuff to see, and hopefully there is a late pledge option for you to get in on. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that's my head has not been in the news much.
Yeah. Understandable. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons. Okay. Call this a level speed run right here.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level number 344. If you're hearing this, really the thing that you can do is tell your friends, help spread the show by word of mouth. It has always been the way that we grow. If you would like to leave a rating or review or go to Patreon, we will not turn our nose up at that either. But most of all, come back next week. Am I forgetting anything, you guys?
Not at all.
Okay. I've been Cole Ross. You can catch me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia at Deck of Wonders on Twitter with underscores between the words.
I've been David Meismith. I'm just kind of chilling.
Cool. And stick around for some titles. David, XCOM 2, so that code that I sent you if that doesn't work, let me know and I will send you the other one. I have two. Like when I initially bought a Come To, I did it on Humble. So I've got two of them activated here, but I'm not sure which is the right one. So
I'm fairly certain that that worked. So
oh, cool. All right. Who Thank has titles? You. Yeah, nope, no worries. If it was doing nobody any good sitting in my library there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I have two from fairly early on.
Okay.
I have Radioactive Snow.
Okay.
And I have Walking Stick.
Okay. I have Floof.
Yes.
That's yeah.
I like Floof a lot.
How did you style it? I'm curious.
I have F-L-O-O-F, but umlauts over both O's.
I did F-L-U-F with umlauts over the U.
Gotcha.
So I would advocate for maybe the O just because it sounds more like a IKEA product.
I also like the idea of two umlauted glyphs in a single word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
What you got, Dennis?
Oh, and they make the paws of the kitten now.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. So I had Floof. I had Brutal Legend that kitten, but I like Floof better.
Okay.
And then I, per more the tone of our content, I had Don't Do Games as a Service.
Cool. I think Floof is a clear winner.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go.
Excellent. I'm going to go get some 48-hour banners up here.
Oh, yeah. No. I probably won't talk to you. Best of luck in the run-up.
Thank you. I mean, it's one of those weird things where it feels very high stakes, but at the same time, we're already so far past the finish line that it's just all fun and gravy from here. That's the mindset I'm trying to keep.
You know, never going to turn your nose up at more gravy, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. No. Cool. So, but I'm pulling for you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. See you guys around.
Did we decide on Floof?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that was pretty obvious.
Yes. Yes. All right. Take care, you guys.
Now I'm squashed, by the way. All right. See ya. Hey, bye.